So we'll go ahead and call the July 2015 Traffic Safety Commission meeting to order. Roll call, please. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Don't have a flag.
I guess we won't be doing the pledge. We're flagless.
I think it's still at Special Olympics.
Oh, it is.
We can salute the post. All right. At least nobody can fault us for intent. All right, so we'll open up the floor to public comments, and we have one from Mr. Stanley Hale. If you could come to the microphone, please, and push the button on the left, and then just state your name.
Good evening. My name is Stan Halley. I am a director and the chairperson of the Bypass Impact Committee for the Ladd Hill Neighbor Association. And I'm here tonight just to bring you all up to speed with respect to some ongoing dialogue that we're having with ODOT, with the City of Newburgh, and with the City of Wilsonville, Clackamas County, Yamhill County, and the West Lynn Wilsonville School District. What we are talking about is a very significant and avoidable safety issue on Wilsonville Road. If the current configuration that ODOT is planning to go to bid in December continues, this would essentially bring the bypass directly into a reconfigured Wilsonville Road. And to quote one of the traffic engineers from Clackamas County, essentially it would be a cannon for traffic going straight down Wilsonville Road to avoid the Springbrook Road congestion and 99 heading up toward I-5. We've been testifying about this and talking about this and following it very closely since 2002. We discovered that with the TSP amendment that the Newburgh City Council passed in December of 2013, allowing for a highway to actually end at a local road, that even though ODOT was said many times publicly that there was their analysis and their modeling showed no impact on Wilsonville Road, which we could not believe. We discovered through hiring of a traffic engineer and detailed independent confirmation that, in fact, ODOT never conducted that analysis, nor did the modeling that would cover Wilsonville Road. So we found significant new information, and with that, we said basically, while we don't want to, we have the basis to go to federal district court and to ask for a supplemental EIS for the bypass. We sent a letter with all that information to ODOT and to the Federal Highway Administration, Phil Ditzler, who's the head of the Oregon region. And immediately ODOT came to the table. And we had some very productive discussions over the last several months, resulting in what's called, what ODOT initially designed, and we continue to work with them to modify and tweak, what's called a no-through intersection at 219 between the end of the bypass and Wilsonville Road. Essentially, you could make a left or a right from either one, but you could not go across. 219 would be through in all directions, either north or south. I have a map here if that would help. So now we're at a stage where there was a lot of questions. Mayor Andrews at the last Parkway Committee, actually the April Parkway Committee meeting, raised a number of concerns, which I believe you called angst, which got us back to our analysis and looked at different options. And we were able to conclude that the maximum impact on local streets would have been at most 3 or 4% in the out years. by putting in this no-through option. A letter from the Newburgh city engineer to ODOT at the end of, I think it was in June, basically said that, well, that would require another amendment to the TSP. What we're concerned about is along Wilsonville Road, and I presume many of you have driven it or drive it regularly, it is already a very unsafe rural road. There are over 200 residences that have driveways right onto the road, multiple side streets, two public schools, two private schools, at least six working farms, and most of them on both sides of the road, so heavy equipment goes back and forth. And we documented speeding, accidents, traffic volumes, et cetera. It cannot handle any more or significant increase in traffic. So we bring it to your attention that there are, if anything but this no-through design were to occur, we're looking at some significant safety issues along the road. And I'll hold there for questions. I have a lot of documentation I would submit to the commission.
Yeah, we can go ahead and submit that for the record, all of your documentation. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions at this time? Carl?
Is there anything, you're just bringing us the information, coming to us with the information tonight.
We're alerting you to the issue. We're not that familiar with the Transportation Safety Commission. And so we look to your advice or counsel as to, you know, what else we can or should do. In this packet, I have support letters from all three Yamhill County commissioners, the mayor of the city of Wilsonville, three different letters from John Ludlow, the chair of the Clackamas County Commission, the head of public works for the school district. Did I miss any? I think I got them. As well as the original letter from the 16th of January and a letter we wrote to Mayor Andrews more recently. So you can get a little bit more of the history, and we have lots and lots of information, data, and so on, if it's something that you'd like to look at.
When was the last time you communicated with ODOT about this? Has it been recent or?
Friday.
Oh, okay. So you've been in pretty constant communication.
Yeah, and in fact, one of our traffic engineer met with Matt Garrett this morning.
Okay. So, Mayor Andrews, do you have any comments on this, or?
No, thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for the information. We'll go ahead and put it in the record, and hopefully maybe we can make copies of it for all the commissioners to take a look at. And after that, maybe we can see if we're going to look at it any further and stuff, and try to have communication with ODOT possibly.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
So the next item on the agenda is the consent calendar. So are there any additions or corrections for the minutes from the April 2015 meeting? The only thing I saw and it's questionable is since I was absent at that meeting, I'm wondering if it should have the honorable and somewhat dignified Carl Berkey as the signer, not the.
No, I think that'd be a mistake. It would be wrong.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time I've been wrong, so that's the only thing I saw. Motion to approve the minutes.
Who was that? Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, the last name spelling is K-E-L-L-E-Y. Not a huge deal, but wanted to note that.
Okay, thank you.
I spelled your last name wrong.
Yeah, it's K-E-L-E-Y.
E-Y. Oh, thank you.
Any other changes or additions? Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Any new business? Seeing none, we'll move on to old business. So we'll bring up item A, which is TSC 15, number 4, 5th Street and Meridian stop sign request. And I'll pass it over to Jason for a staff report.
Good Good evening. My name is Jason Wirtz with the Engineering Department. On October 13th, 2014, the Traffic Safety Commission heard a request for stop signs or a stop sign warrant analysis at the intersection of 5th and Meridian. And at that meeting, the Traffic Safety Commission voted to install stop signs on the minor leg, which is 5th Street, based on those warrants. Included with that was the removal of a large deciduous tree and two smaller apple trees adjacent to that, which were necessary to be removed for the site vision at that intersection. The Public Works Department put this project on their schedule and recently began to proceed with the decisions that the commission made and determined that the cost to remove the tree was quite much more substantial than was originally anticipated, because for one of the sizes of the tree, the location of the tree adjacent to the road and the house, as well as the sidewalk and the location of the sidewalk in relation to that tree, required sidewalk replacement as well. And so the cost quickly escalated. At the same time, I also received a request from the adjacent homeowner to consider not removing the trees. And so since then, the Public Works Superintendent and the City Engineer discussed this and decided to come forward to you again and with a recommendation that the Traffic Safety Commission retract the motion approved on October 13th, which was item TSC 14004, and to subsequently approve the installation of an all-way stop at the intersection of 5th and South Meridian Street. An all-way stop would not require the removal of the trees and would be significantly less expensive.
Any questions, Jason? Discussion?
I just had one question for Jason, actually.
Go ahead.
We had made the decision to put the two-way stop on 5th back in October, and with all Public Works researching and stuff, I was just curious as to why it has taken 9 months to finally get kicked back to us.
That's a good question. After the Traffic Safety Commission makes a decision, those items are put onto a log. There's a petition period where people can petition, and then after that, those items are given to, if they require action on the Public Works Department's part, then those items are given to them, and they schedule them as they have the available time. And so this was the time that they had available. I think it was back in, I think it was in early June or May when they began to get quotes and stuff for the tree removal.
Any other questions or comments?
This seems to me to be one of those times where you have an engineering answer, but it's not the right one, and you just have to use some common sense and say, you know, we don't like it, but this is the best thing to do. And is that summarize kind of some of your thinking?
Yeah, I think that summarizes it. The most appropriate engineering solution is to not have stop signs at all, but that requires the removal of trees, the relocation of fencing, which we don't have the enforcement capabilities to relocate the fencing as well, to have no stop signs. So, I mean, the intersection does not meet warrants for stop signs outside of site distance issues. So, but because of all of the other issues surrounding removing those site obstructions, the recommendation from the engineering department is to leave those obstructions in place, the four-way stop.
How do you think putting in a four-way opposed to a two-way is going to affect the traffic patterns down in that area, considering that's probably going to be the only stop signs in several blocks?
I think the traffic the traffic volumes are low enough that it's not going to significantly impact. Most of the travel in that area is probably local travel, not pass-through travel. I don't think it would significantly impact the traffic flows.
Okay.
We didn't do an overall traffic study of the surrounding streets or the...
But I saw that the traffic study done, I think, requested by then Councilor Howard back in 2012 showed like 5 accidents at that intersection. None of them were injury accidents, but still it was over a 2-year period. There was 5 accidents, I believe.
The 5 accidents were since
2011. Oh, okay. But it was, so it was 2011, 2012 on 2-year period, because there, that was part of the March 2012 request from Councilor Howard.
I would
expect... We didn't redo a new traffic study. We just used the 2012
yes.
traffic study.
Yes, I would expect the accident rate to go down at the intersection with the type of accidents that we're seeing previously. We may see an increase in potentially rear-end accidents on Meridian, as people would not necessarily expect there to be a stop sign. And so there could be rear-end accidents as people stop there. I would think that would be a very low occurrence. And as with all traffic changes, when the stop signs go in, there would be the appropriate signage for the appropriate duration that notifies people that there is a traffic pattern change. And so it people would be notified and given some time to get used to the new traffic patterns there. But being that based on traffic counts alone, the warrants aren't met, that there could be instances where people, when an intersection doesn't meet warrants for a stop sign, there can be an occurrence where people choose to ignore the stop sign. And so that could occur.
Since you said it's mostly going to, you're hoping it's mostly going to be local traffic and not through traffic, since this has already gone through and been a limited decision, but now we're rescinding it. We're going through the same 14-day appeal process or possible appeal process and advising the neighborhood.
I would think so, yeah.
Okay, so that would be also another opportunity to notify everybody there's going to be a change happening at that intersection with stop signs and such. So any further discussions or questions?
I want to do 2 things. One is this, I think it makes sense what you're saying. But my question is, what I heard you say is that the city does not have the authority to assure appropriate intersection site distance with fences and stuff. And it seems to me we'd want to talk to council about that and get that.
Yeah, that's a good question. The city code requires that the site distance or the site vision at an intersection be 50 feet. It's a 50-foot triangle from where the curb from both streets come together, and where that meets, then you go 50 feet out and draw a line between, and that's the triangle. And that's the area where the code has authority to, so through code enforcement, we as a city can go and require that a property owner bring that to within the requirements of the code. It doesn't allow us to go farther necessarily, and so that's where, at least it's more of a gray area if you have to go farther. In this particular instance, the fence being at that 50-foot triangle isn't enough for no stop signs.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to rescind the decision we made in October. Do you want 2 separate motions?
Probably need to. We need to rescind the one and then go ahead and make a separate one to take care of what Jason's proposing. So we've got a motion on the floor to rescind it. Second, all those in favor of rescinding the 2014 motion to remove the tree and stuff, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. So now entertain another motion to take engineering's recommendation.
I'll move that we adopt the recommendation of the engineering department relevant to the stop signs at 5th at Meridian.
Second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt engineering's recommendation of four-way stop at Fifth and Meridian. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thanks, Jason. So item B is traffic concerns on South Blaine Street. We were expecting somebody to come, but it doesn't look like they have. I'll open it up to discussion, Jason or Mr. McMaster, if you want to discuss it. Or we can just kind of pass it and do it in the engineering report. I'll leave it up to you as to what you want to do.
Well, I was asked to attend tonight. If you had questions, I can give you some history on the street if you're interested. I'm Jim McMaster with Shalem Park and Recreation District. I can answer those questions. Or
if you wouldn't mind, Mr. McMaster, why don't you come up to Mike and we'll just see if anybody has any. We can kind of, at least maybe you can state it and we can put it in the record.
Sure.
And so for future reference, it at least is in the minutes and we can pull it up for future reference if we need to. So I'll just have you state your name into the mic and if to hit the button on the right and it'll turn on the red light and make it active.
So Jim McMaster, Shalem Park and Recreation District.
And if you just want to go into history and tell us and hopefully not steal my thunder, Jason. We'll just get it on the record and move from here in case we have to encounter it again.
So originally that street, Union Park's been there for a lot of years, many years. And that was a dirt road that went in there. It's really been a no man's land. I'm not sure how the homes and everything got put in there a long time ago with a street like that, but that's kind of what we have. It was partially owned by the mill, and then the mill says, well, not really. So I know that I forgot the woman's name that worked before where the city was trying to bring it into the city as a legal road of the city. So as far as I know, it's still not part of the city's, you know, road. So that's kind of where we are. So we had some neighbors come and complain about the dust. And so the park district, even though it wasn't on our property, we paved all in front of all those new houses. Now they don't go all the way to Habitat's new house that's there, but we paved all of that. We put up, we put speed bumps on that to, you know, work with the homeowners as much as we could. And the city helped us with some of the signage out there and so on. So that's kind of where we are with that as far as the park district's concerned. Some of the things that are coming, you know, we've been asked by the neighbors to put lighting in the park at night. We've done that. We are now going to have a caretaker down there. We'll probably end up looking to experiment with closing the gates at dark, which should limit traffic in the evenings, which the police department has asked us to look into doing. So we've tried to be as good a neighbors as possible to make things more comfortable for those folks. Now, I know the speed limit's only 15 miles per hour and it's marked that way. And I think, Brian, you could probably allude to how difficult it is for some people to go 15 miles per hour. I'm not sure how many 15 mile per hour signs there are in the city right now. But so we do have those that don't obey the law and don't obey the signs. And I noticed that the police department did put up, you know, their machine out there that regulates speed. So that's kind of the history. If you have questions for me, I can give you some.
I guess I just have one. Are you receiving the same complaints that it seems like those from other people than those neighbors about speed and other problems down in that area?
I just had a complaint come in over the weekend on my email. My Don Clements might have been receiving some. The gentleman has talked to us before about it. You know, we try to tell the people that use the park, especially if we have events, to make sure people drive safely and obey the traffic laws. But it seems to be one neighbor that's been talking to us.
But other than those people right down there who live on South Blaine, those neighbors, you're not really hearing other complaints?
I haven't, no.
Okay. Any other questions? Chief Casey, did you have something?
Yeah. We've been involved in this for quite some time now, and it's been a persistent and consistent problem with one particular neighbor down there. And then I did meet with an additional neighbor last week, and I don't really think this is an issue that the Traffic Safety Commission should be addressing. There's behavioral issues going on down there, and you know the speed isn't necessarily a problem. We've done a speed survey out there, as you know, and found out that the speed was not anywhere near what we were being told it was. Quite frankly, what we need is a caretaker down there would be good. Closing that gate at night would be very good. And just having some general supervision from the park and rec over their park. We spend a lot of time down there responding to calls and just general patrol, which we don't mind, but we're not necessarily interested in supervising the activities that go on in the parking lot and in and around the park. And so for us, it's more of a conduct issue that we're trying to address versus a traffic safety problem. And I do realize that the neighbor down there does have some concerns with traffic safety, and I do think they're occurring, but there's nothing that this commission here can address, let me assure you. So, the road, as Jim has said, is who's who owns this, and it has been paved, a portion of it, with the speed bumps, which I find are very effective in keeping the speed down. So from my perspective, like I said, this is not an issue that you all should be dealing with. If somebody wants to show up here and complain to you, fine, but I would respectfully ask that you refer it back to the police department or the engineering department to deal with, because I can't think of anything that you could do here to address the issues that we're dealing with. So with that said, if you have some questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Any questions of Mr. McMaster or Chief Casey? Jason?
Yeah, I wanted to give just a little update as well. So the speed limit signs down there are posted at 15. And a while ago, we came to the commission and gave you an update that we found that the $15 speed signs throughout the city were not legal without a proper speed zone study and placed in the proper locations. This particular location should have been removed at the time the other signs were not removed, but it was not. So the 15-mile-an-hour speed signs are going to be taken down, and a 25-mile-an-hour speed sign is going to be placed back up. And so there will be some adjusting to that, in that it's not a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit street. It's a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit street until such the time that the street turns into private property. And then it's a CPRD property, and they can do what they choose on the private property. So I wanted to just provide an update for that.
I just had one quick question for you, Jason. We had discussed, I think, a while back, I don't remember when, about that intersection right there and who has the right-of-way and the stop sign being on the wrong side. Was there any update as to information on who owns what?
Yeah, so what we found was that the right-of-way south of Blaine is not clearly city right-of-way. It's also not clearly owned by the property owners. And so what has to happen is a legal process needs to take place that declares that city right-of-way. And that's a process that takes time and it takes money. And at the current time, that's not a prioritized project for the engineering department. I mean, at some point, it will be done. It needs to be done, but not at the current time. It's not planned.
Mayor Andrews.
Question, if I may, for engineering, Jason. On the issue of the speed sign, if the jurisdiction of that route is not clearly the city's, where it's not clearly the county's, then it may be private. It may be. So what jurisdiction does the speed board have over areas that are not jurisdictionally defined? 2015 versus the 25, illegal or illegal?
That's a complicated question. The ORS does not regulate private property. So what I'm stating, the ORS that I'm stating that places the rules on the speed limits being 25 would not apply if it were private property. So that's the short answer, being that it's clearly not private property. It's clearly not owned by the property owners. The problem is it's not clearly defined and owned by the city. There's deeds that refer to it as a road. At this point I don't have a solid answer for you on that.
Thank you.
Actually, that was the mayor took part of my question, and that was if it's not if it's not a road, a public highway or roadway, we can't enforce traffic violations on that street unless it's a traffic crime. So things such as speeding or even careless driving, it has to be like a DUI or a reckless driving or something like that. So if that in fact is the case, all that area back there, including the paved area, is an area that we can't lawfully enforce traffic violations if the city doesn't own the road.
So if I understand that correctly, so if it was a 15 mile an hour speed limit or 115 mile an hour speed limit, you wouldn't cite anybody. So I guess my thing would be, why then remove the 15 mile an hour speed limit signs if they're not going to be enforced anyway? We don't have to, unless somebody's going to listen to this tape, they're not going to know. They're going to hopefully be a little bit slower doing the 15 than saying 25 and possibly doing 30, whereas we might be doing more with 15 and doing 20. And so I hate to say we're possibly opening the floodgates, but if the police department isn't going to enforce 15 or 25 or whatever, and we're not sure it's city property or county property or railroad property or CPRD or Santa Claus's property, why not just leave the signs right now? And at some point, we're going to do this eventual thing. No one, it doesn't sound like anybody's going to come back and say, well, I got a speed ticket for doing 20 in a 25 mile an hour zone that's posted at 15, because the police department's not going to cite them.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with your concept. It may work as a deterrent. However, if we do that, we need to notify the neighbors, because that's already come up. Hey, the speed limit's 15 miles an hour. Why aren't you guys citing them? And I've already had to tell them, at least one neighbor, that it's not an enforceable offense to be doing over 15 on that street because the speed limit's not legal. So if we do leave it up, Jason, and I'll leave that up to the engineering department, I think we at least need to notify the neighbors, because they will be asking, why aren't you enforcing the...
And I think we're in kind of a lose-lose situation here with the neighbors. I don't think there's anything that we can say that's going to make them happy. But I think if we tell them, I agree with telling them, but I think if we tell them that we can't enforce, but we're going to keep the 15 mile an hour speed limit signs up, hoping that it'll slow down traffic a little bit, then putting 25 on it. If we go up and tell them we're going to put 25 mile an hour speed limit signs up, they're not going to be happy campers.
So, I think you're asking an interesting question. If the neighbors decide they want to put a 115 mile an hour speed limit sign up there, would that be a problem for you? And the answer is no, because that's not none of our business. Right. Well, the reason you have signs is so you control traffic, and they need to be consistent and they need to make sense. They need to be respected. That's one of the things that's important about signing. And so when you have a sign that's clearly not consistent, that becomes a problem, I think.
I'm just not seeing the consistency. I mean, it sounds like Jason's saying, and I agree, it's a confusing matter right now, but it sounds like everybody's still trying to figure out who actually owns it, who actually has total jurisdiction on it. It sounds like Chehalem Park and Rec has stepped up to the plate and done quite a bit of work, but we're still in this quandary. And so I'm kind of like, instead of us making a decision, or the engineering or the city making a decision of, well, we know one problem, and that problem is the signage. We're going to change the signage. I think we're just going to create more headache and more problems down the road, whereas if we just kind of hear no evil, see no evil, know no evil right now, and say at a later time when we finally get this all figured out, then we'll take care of it properly. But right now, what is there tends to be working a little bit. So I'll get off my soapbox. Carrie?
I was kind of thinking the same thing, is if we don't have clear jurisdictional authority over it, then how do we really have authority to take those signs down at this point? For all we know, it's going to end up being considered private property, and if we take those signs down, then we're violating their jurisdictional authority of their own property. You know, I just think that we would probably be opening up a bigger can of worms than we really need to if we take those signs down right now. And I understand what you're saying, that it doesn't match the ORS, and I totally agree with that. But at the same time, if we don't know who has jurisdictional authority and we go in and we do that, I think it could come back to bite us. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think, and maybe I want to clarify something, is that the question that's out there is not whether this strip of land is owned by a private entity. The question is that there's no deed of dedication that identifies that the city has jurisdiction of the roadway. There's a roadway that's defined, there's a roadway that's listed and given out by name in deeds for the properties that are along there. I wouldn't say that it's not possible, but I would say that I'd be very surprised to see after the legal process that road is not owned by the city as a city right away. It's that a process needs to take place that's a legal process that involves taking it to, you declare it, then it goes to court and a judge declares that it's city right away. That needs to happen. It's more of a housekeeping cleanup type thing.
We don't know that it's ours to take care of, to change those signs. That's what I hear you saying, is that we don't know after the court process happens that that's going to be declared city property or not. So right now we're kind of assuming that it possibly could, because the city will be the ones that change those signs from 15 to 25, right? So we could find out we're changing signs on somebody else's jurisdiction. You understand what I'm saying?
I guess I don't know who other's jurisdiction it would be. The county is not going to take it. They've already stated that they won't.
If somebody were to go out and put barricades across that street, would the city refuse to remove them because it's not their jurisdiction? You know, I think not. I think they would say, you can't block a public street like that.
I forgot her name, the engineer that was working for the city 2-3 years ago. She did a lot of work on that easement area. She did a lot of engineering work on that. Do you have that information? So you've seen all that she did and so on, because she said she was close but not completed in the work she was doing to bring that into the city.
The process that was done in the past was not it wasn't the correct process.
Okay. All right, because I know she was working on it and so on. And the other thing, all those homes are in the city, is that correct?
Yes.
So they have to have access somehow.
Yes.
Okay.
And the other thing that I would mention is that when we did the traffic study out there, we found that people were traveling under 25. And I think that there's a part of the complaint-driven issues that are coming forward are speed, that there's a speeding issue down there. And if that's driven by the perception that it's a 15-mile-an-hour street. And if it was a 25-mile-an-hour street, that I'm not saying those complaints would go down, because they might not. They might just change direction. But the majority of vehicles are driving under 25.
Jeff?
I'm not familiar with this street and the length of it, and I don't know if that is important, but the city put up the 15-mile-per-hour signs, is that correct, originally?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. In my experience, it's similar to the way we treat our roads within the campus, that it's a premise open to the public as far as enforcement. like the chief was saying, is it necessary that we post a speed there? Can we just put signs that say slow? I mean, you can't enforce whatever speed's there anyway, so it seems to me a little silly to put anything.
We could remove speed signs.
How long are we, is this street, how long? Is it a mile, is it 200 feet?
There's only 6-7 lots, maybe, at most.
Yeah.
It's not very long.
I mean, that's the kind of solution that I think we would...
The reason why our approach was going to be to replace the 15 with 25 is that there's a widespread perception or knowledge that that's a 15 mile an hour street. And so right. To help educate people that it's a 25 mile an hour street, not a 15, that was our thought. Any street that doesn't have a speed limit sign on it in a residential type area is always default a 25 mile an hour street.
Right.
So I agree.
Clarification.
Yeah, go ahead, Ms. Mayor.
Private streets in Newburgh, what's the speed limit on those?
Is it, you asking me?
Yes.
I don't think that the city would have jurisdiction over that.
Thank you.
So I agree with Chief Casey that this is really something the Traffic Safety Commission doesn't have jurisdiction over. Obviously, we can't even decide if it's in the city or not and stuff. But I think since those houses are Newburgh City, obviously they're citizens of Newburgh, the city of Newburgh. Therefore, they got some representation on this committee. I would think we're just bringing up as fellow citizens that it seems to us, it sounds like, without taking a vote, because it's not something we can make a motion on, the popular opinion here is that either keeping the signs at 15 or putting slow signs on would probably be less of a headache for the city in the long run, especially the engineering department. And bringing up previous concerns from the neighbors down there on speeding and things like that, I think if we have the discussion with them and just say, you know, hey, there's not a lot we can do here. Our hands are pretty much tied. We don't know where it is and stuff, but we want to work with you the best we can. So since no police department can't enforce any violations there, we'll keep the signs at 15 or put a slow sign up or do something like that, hoping to keep the speed down. But it's going to look like people are speeding still, and it's going to be a lot better than if we put 25 mile an hour signs up and everything, which wouldn't be enforced either. So good summary for where the commission stands on this. It has private citizens because it's not something we're going to make a motion on or have any enforcement on or jurisdiction or anything like that. So that's our recommendation. Jeff?
I just had one more question. In your professional opinion, both Jason and Chief Casey, do you think putting 25 miles per hour would encourage people to drive faster? I mean, I know I try to drive at least the speed limit, so...
In my opinion, I don't think that putting 25 mile an hour speed signs would encourage people to drive faster. I think people are driving the speed that is natural for the road.
Okay, thank you.
I would agree. The only thing I think the 25 mile an hour speed will do is actually probably infuriate the neighbors that are there if they see a speed sign that says 25, just my opinion. And having dealt with them quite a bit here, pretty confident that that would occur. So I really believe this is a problem that the police and the park and rec need to work together on and get this thing resolved and limit. We're never going to completely eradicate all the issues just because you got cars and people. You're always going to have somebody doing something wrong, but I think our goal is to minimize it as best we can, and that's what I'd like to see done. So
okay, thank you everybody. Thank you for coming, Mr. McMaster, and for your testimony. So basically, this is something that's just going to be on the record for if we have somebody else comes and makes a concern or complaint to this commission, we'll have something on the record about where we are with this, and someone us or future commissioners can refer back to. So any other old business before we move on? Seeing none, we'll go to engineering report. So Jason?
So I wanted to give an update on a couple projects that we have going on. The Villa Road design is getting underway. We have a resolution going to council at the next council meeting to approve the contract with Murray Smith and Associates, who's going to be doing the design for that. And so that'll be a project that I know that the public will have a lot of interest in. And so we're going to put out a good effort at involving the public as much as we can early on and getting their input and trying to really make it a great project for the community. So that's getting started, and I mentioned last time that the plan for construction starting would be summer of 2016. And the city also, we went out for bids for pavement maintenance project. And so that project is going to council as well at the next council meeting. And so that project will occur later this summer. The construction of that will occur later this summer, as well as the parking lot, the city-owned parking lot that's on 2nd Street between Howard and College, is also going to receive some maintenance efforts to that parking lot, which is in pretty desperate need for some maintenance. So that will be occurring later this summer as well and into the fall. So those are a few of the projects that we have going on that you'll see around town. That's all I have.
Any questions for Jason? Chief Casey? Oh, I'm sorry, David.
Yeah, what is going to be done on Villa Road? I don't know if I got that answer.
Villa Road, the project on Villa Road is the limits are from Hayworth to Crestview. And because of budget constraints, we may not be able to go all the way to Crestview. So the current plan is to go from Hayworth to Park. And we would be improving it to city standards, with the exception of where we can't. So at the trestle, where the road goes underneath the trestle, the city standard design will be modified. Our goal is still to get sidewalks and bike lanes on both sides of the street through all of that. But we haven't gone through the design to see if we can make that happen. But that's definitely our goal through there.
Mr. Mayor.
Follow up, if I may. What's the our TSP classification on Villa?
It's a major collector.
Major collector, thank you.
Carrie?
I was wondering about the parking lot. You said that they're just going to do maintenance on it. So I know in the past they had talked about completely redoing it. Are they not doing that any longer?
Yes, the city council made a decision to proceed forward with a maintenance-only project. And so that's the current plan. And I know that there's a side effort to do an overall downtown parking analysis or survey, and the results of that will kind of determine the future of how that parking lot, as well as other parking needs in the downtown core, and how that will all kind of play out. So for the current time, that parking lot is kind of at the verge of shut it down or do some maintenance, and so the decision was made to do some maintenance on it.
Chief Casey.
So last weekend, the city of Newburgh hosted the Oregon Special Olympics event, and that was, I would say, from our perspective, it was very successful. We didn't have any major incidents, and that's always a good thing. It takes quite a bit of coordination and manpower for us to effectively man that event, and so, which is fine, it's for a good cause, so we enjoy doing that. Additionally, the city of Dundee hosted their half marathon, and they had about 1200 runners out there, and again, that takes quite a bit of manpower. That was on Sunday, so we had Special Olympics and the Dundee Marathon going this weekend, so we've been really busy with those events. In addition to that, the city hosts the Tunes on Tuesday and Friday Art Walk downtown. So this time of the year is busy for us, but you know, it's been really pretty quiet as far as police activities go. And so we're thankful for that. We always threaten people and we talk to them that if they don't behave, we're gonna send the mayor after them. And that gets them in cooperating right away. So that is my report, other than, you know, traffic-wise, the issues on Blaine Street, and you heard about that. And we did have a guy run the photo red light out at Fred Meyer's the other night and hit another car, so that's all on video. And that's kind of interesting to see. So, but that light was good for red for a good 7 or 8 seconds when he went through it. So it's interesting how somebody can see a red light like that at night and just drive right through it, not even stop. So, and that's my report, unless you have some questions.
The red light, ODOT's still, it's still going to go bye-bye once ODOT comes and redoes that intersection?
I believe that is ODOT's intention.
Okay. And we're not going to try to keep it, or it's just going to fade away?
I think that the city's position on that is pick your battles, and that's one we're probably not going to win, since they have jurisdiction of the highway, and they can approve or disapprove of those lights, and they've told us they don't want it there. And so I think it would take a lot of time and resources and money to deal with ODOT over that issue. So with that said, I do I don't see the logic behind their reasoning for pulling it out. I can't tell you how many rear-end crashes we have in Dundee, but they're weekly, if not daily. And there is no photo red light in Dundee. So, and that's their justification for pulling it out, is there's been an increase of rear-end crashes there, and the increase was from like 9 to 13. Yeah, so 66% increase.
Any other questions for Chief Casey? Thank you. Commissioners, Mary, do you have anything? Mr. Mayor?
I'm not a commissioner, but yes, I do. Thank you.
We'll make an exception. We'll make an exception in your case.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
On the presentation you had this evening with Wilsonville Road, one of the concerns that has been expressed is some of the alternatives that are being discussed would be putting Wilsonville Road or Newburgh to Wilsonville traffic on city streets. And that's a concern that we have of adding to that. Then we get into the argument about all kinds of what numbers are. Well, there's this number that fits our case, and there's another number that fits somebody else's case. And so this is an ongoing discussion, and it will have resolution. And it'll be probably a compromise, to be very honest with you. I sincerely hope it's a compromise. We are working on it. The engineering department, I don't know whether you've been involved in those discussions or not, Jason, but the engineering has been working on it. Our community development, state engineers are working on it. It is a ODOT facility, and it is not a city, that intersection is not a city facility, but the potential outcome could be something we don't want. We also had some concerns about accessing the Wilsonville Road for safety, and there were some other things that we enumerated, and those are being worked on. I do want to announce, we were talking about, and thank you for the report, Jason, on Villa Road, but we have another one that is really very exciting, and I just got word today that we have received a commitment of funding of some $900,000 to begin the process of finishing out the Crestview Crossings area, extending Providence Drive across and through the Gilner and Gish property and connecting with Crestview. Now, that's not the total cost, but that's a significant amount of money. So that is now, and that fits in with the Villa Road as we look at our total transportation facilities and how we are responding to the needs on the north end of Newburgh. So that's one that you can look forward to. And when we talk about, Jason brought up the parking survey, that's part of the Transportation Growth Management grant that we got. We'll have that parking survey for the downtown revitalization. So we're moving very positive in some of these areas. The wheels of the gods do grind very slowly. Thank you.
So just a quick question. Jason, if that Crestview addition goes through, like the mayor was just talking, would that keep Villa as a major arterial, or would it reduce it down to a minor arterial?
Well, as far as I know, and unless Jason has some insights, Villa will still stay as a major collector.
Okay. All right.
But so a lot of the pressure now, my understanding of what the extension of Crestview or Providence Drive, as we know it going south, but Crestview going, or Crestview crossings and going on and connecting with Crestview, will not be designed for heavy commercial traffic. There will be, there is one roundabout that you already know in the Augsburg area, that, and there may be yet another one, I'm not positive yet, but those are not designed for commercial vehicles. They're designed for civilian vehicles, if I may, or local delivery, but not for commercial vehicles. Okay. We can get the fire department through there, trust me. Said like a politician, didn't I?
David? Yes, Ron? All right.
You're not going to brag about your efforts on Friday, Ron?
No. Only won one game. The Mayor's Bocce Cup. My my son, he's eight. We've been doing 3 years. And we beat Marjorie and Carrie Kimchuk. They were the cup winners last year for the non-mayors. And my son and I beat them 12-0 in the first match. And then we promptly lost 12-0 in the next match. So I forget who.
part of the educating of the mayors across the state of what the real role of Special Olympics Oregon is, not just to have fun, but there is a reason to introduce them to these very special athletes that we deal with. It's a phenomenal occasion.
It's fun watching them compete because that's what a lot of these people do year round, is they train for these events. And like, when you're sitting there, you're trying to play bocce and you know, you're trying to roll a ball closest to the target ball, and then you see an athlete, Special Olympic athlete, just like every time gets it right in the perfect spot. it's kind of fun to watch.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I guess I might as well congratulate my wife. She won the Ken Davis Law Enforcement Award for Special Olympics, and she was honored.
Cool.
The ceremonies.
Very nice.
This was an honor of reward for Special Olympics, especially the law enforcement torch run activities.
Nice.
Oh. And this guy here had some involvement in the law enforcement torch walk. Run.
We helped carry the torch over the Special Olympics. Law enforcement is one of the sponsors of the Special Olympics, so it's a big part of what we do statewide.
Cool. Well, and we're planning on having it again next year. Cool. Very cool. So, motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.